to love people like us. Turn to our Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. As we look into God's Word this morning, there's a little boy and a mom, and the mom had bought him this little computer, and it was a speak and spell computer. And so the little boy could type in words, and it would speak the words back to him, learning how to spell, learning how to pronounce the words. He was about 5 years old, and so he'd punch in a word, and it would speak it back to him. Punch another word, and speak it back. He was really enjoying this, super intent. And then he punched in or typed in the word God. And the computer said, word not found. He looked at the computer again, and so he typed in again, G-O-D. The computer said again, word not found. Little boy looked at the computer, shook his head, and said, Jesus is not going to be happy about this. Back in the days when King Saul was around, King Saul was the first king of Israel. When he was around, they were having problem with the people called the Philistines that were going, wanted to go to war with them, and they're always fighting. And so he went to God, or had the prophet go to God, should we fight against the Philistines? And God said no, and Saul went anyways. He went to fight anyways, and when he went there, he went to fight. He lost the battle. He was killed in the battle, and the ark was taken. Now, this is not the ark, the boat, but this is something called the Ark of the Covenant. The ark was made after Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was a box overlaid in gold. It had a mercy seat in the middle. It had two cherubims on either side, overshadowing the mercy seat. It was kept in the temple in the most holy place. And see, you had the in the temple, you had the outer court, and then you had the inner court, which is called the holy place. The outer court was anybody could go into. Foreigner didn't matter. And then there was the inner court, only the Jews could go into. And then there was the most holy place where only the high priest, not even all the priests, just the high priest could go in there, and he could only go in there once a year. And it says in Hebrews chapter 9, latter part of verse 4, this ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. That would be the Ten Commandments. In those days, in the Old Testament, pre-Jesus, when the God came down, the presence of God came down with his glories, he rested in the most holy place, overshadowing the mercy seat between the two cherubims. The ark represented the presence and the power of God in his covenant with them. To lose the ark was devastating to them. It separated them from the presence of God. How must the people felt? They'd just gone to battle and lost. Their king has been killed, and now the ark, which represented the presence of God, has been taken from them. Everything is lost. I don't know. I was going to ask some of our children this morning. Any one of our children that are here, have you ever been lost? Children means youth. If you're anybody, want to put up your hand. I want to hear your story. Oh, there's one back there. I see somebody back here. Somebody back here. Were you lost? You were lost once. Well, Maya, tell me your story. Well, mom's going to maybe have to tell the story. Maya's a little shy. Mom?
She got lost at a water park in Niagara one time.
You were lost at a water park in Niagara?
Yes. She was lining up for a ride, and I went down to go watch her, but she didn't hear that part. And so when she turned around and I was gone, she panicked and got back out of the line. And then we crossed paths and couldn't find her for a little bit. It's a little scary.
So how did you feel?
Scared.
Very scared, eh? Did mommy rescue you?
No.
Bad mommy. Okay. What happened?
I went to... So there was this play water park, and mom said that whenever we were lost, we had to go stand by there. And so I stood by there, and I waited, and... Mom and Dad didn't come to find me?
No comment.
Still waiting to see her come down the ride.
Oh, you're waiting for her to come down the ride yet.
So I went to the guest services, and
they paged
Mom and Dad.
And then you found them.
Yes.
So you found them. They didn't find you. That must have been scary, though. Yeah. How old were you when that happened? 6 years old. Wow, that would have been scary. Anybody else been, any one of our kids, youth, ever get lost? But you're six now. Don't get lost. Okay. Over here. I think there's somebody over here. Tell me the story.
One time, Mommy was shopping. She was with Tenny and Teju, and then she couldn't find Teju anywhere, and they looked in the whole store, and they couldn't find him. And in the mall, they couldn't find him in, like, any of the stores. And then this lady brought him and said she found him in the parking lot.
Oh, my goodness. What?
Because...
What? You were in the parking lot?
He thought my mom had gone to the car, so he went to go look for the car.
He was tired of shopping. It's a man thing, really, it is. Wow. Mom, heart attack. I can't even imagine. Wow. You have one too? No, you don't want to tell that one. Okay, anybody else have? Oh, yes, you do? Okay.
One time, I was at my grandma's apartment, and me and my mom were going up to her room door, and I went into the elevator, and then I pressed the button, and I went up to somewhere, and then they couldn't find me. And then after, my dad went to come and find me in the elevator.
You got stuck in the elevator on the wrong floor.
I didn't get stuck in it.
Oh, you weren't stuck. You knew where you were, just didn't know where you were. You were in the elevator. You just didn't know where the elevator was. No? But your dad found you. Was it scary?
No.
No, it wasn't scary. Was it fun? Was it fun? It was fun hiding on your dad. Oh, there you go. Anyone else? One more story? Oh, we got a story over here. Okay. We got to hear this story.
We went to Florida on Walt Disney when Adam was 8 years old, and it was a surprise from Daryl for us. And anyway, when we were there, it was his brother and their brother and wife. It's a group of us and his kids, and it was us. So one night, Adam, the others were going to older, right, like 16 and 17, 18, around that age. So they wanted to go to the hot tub. And so they said they were going. Adam said he wasn't going, so he's staying inside with me. But after a while, about maybe an hour or so, I was in the bedroom, and the Lord bring to me just like that, Adam. So I came up the bedroom and I said to the others that were there, like it was just the adults, four of us. And I said to them, "Where's Adam? He was supposed to be here." And they looked everywhere, not didn't find him. He have unlocked the door and went out. Went in the elevator, and we didn't know, we were three floors up, and we didn't know exactly if he had gone down in the parking lot. We didn't know where he was, because it was a big resort, was stores and everything. And so, I said, I tried to hold myself, and all I could do was just, just pray, and say, "Lord, let us find him, no matter what he is, let us find him, take care of him." Mm-hmm. And so when Daryl went downstairs, and our brother, he went on the balcony, but there were glass, right? So he see him, and he was down there by the pool, and there were only two ladies that were there, and he was just standing up, wandering around, because the hot tub was a little bit further off, and he couldn't remember. And we went to him, praise the Lord, and we brought him back up. But it was such a feeling that you won't want nobody,
to go through.
To feel.
How old was he?
He was 8.
8 years old. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, God is good.
Now he's embarrassed to death. He's embarrassed. Poor Adam. We'll change his name. We'll call him Frank. Poor Frank. Can you imagine or try to imagine the children of Israel separated from the presence of God? How they would have felt lonely, vulnerable. God was a protector. The Israelites weren't great at battle. They weren't great at fighting. They just did what God told them to do, and they always won because God won the battle. So now they're vulnerable. They God is not there. They're out of his presence. They felt lost, empty, helpless. So King Saul's dead. David is announced as king. He goes to battle against the Philistines because he talked to God first and God told him to go. They won the battle and they recaptured Jerusalem, the capital city. And 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, David again brought together able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bela and Judea, and they bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called the name of the Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. Going down to verse 5. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, and the castanet, and the harps, and the lyres, and the timbrels, and the sistrums, and the cymbals. They were celebrating because the ark, representing the presence of God, was coming back to their city, was coming back to their temple or their church. David was expressing himself, and he was worshiping God. Now, see, today, God doesn't dwell in arks or on arks, or he doesn't dwell, the presence of God doesn't dwell in churches, but he dwells in our lives, in our hearts. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord and the heaven and the earth, and does not live in temples built with human hands. Guess what? If you came to church to find the presence of God, sorry, he's already in you. You already had it. Now, sometimes there's something happens in a place like this when it's together, but he just doesn't sit here all week and wait for you to show up. He's in your heart and your life. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are the sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts or into our hearts, the Spirit who's called out, Abba, Father. Jesus lives in us. We can worship Jesus anytime, anywhere, always. In Psalms chapter 92, verse 1, it says, it's good to praise the Lord and to make music in his name of the Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. I mean, you may not be able to play guitar. You may not be able to play a piano or the congas or the drums. You may not play the trumpet or even a harp. But I bet you everyone here knows how to play a CD player. How about an iPod, a radio, or a cell phone? We can listen to and be in worship music anytime, anywhere. As much as we can, we are to worship God. And one of the core values we have at Broadway is for people to experience God, that every time they show up here, to be able to have an experience with God, to get closer to God. You know the best way to experience God? Is have a relationship with Jesus. Where you can just say, Jesus, here's my life. I want you to come in and be every part of it, take every part of it. I want you to forgive everything I've done wrong, and I want to live for you. You know, I think it'd be a great time to have that experience right now if you haven't. So I want us to bow our heads. If you're here today and you haven't experienced Jesus in your life and you don't have a relationship with him, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer of asking Jesus into your life and take control of your life. So if you want to do that, just say this prayer with me. Just between you and God. Lord Jesus, I'm here now. I need you. I realize that on my own, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to fail. And so, Lord Jesus, I come to you. Please forgive me of all my wrong, my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior, that I might live for you. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. If you're here and at this moment you said that prayer with me, it's the biggest decision you've ever made. You are going to experience God like you've never experienced him before. And on that journey with Jesus, you may have questions. There's things you're going to want to know. We have a Bible and some information we'd love to give to you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you said that prayer, just quickly raise your hand. We'd love to make sure you get that. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? We don't want to rush this. This is a pretty important time. Yes, thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person that has raised their hand, that have surrendered their life over to you. What a big experience. I pray you'll continue to teach them to grow and learn by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So once we've experienced Jesus in our life, and we've invited him in, and all of a sudden things start to change, and difference, we learn another way that we can express or get close to God or experience God is through worship, our worship of him. That trying to think of God in this way, that he is the creator of earth. That there wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for him. We wouldn't have anything that we have. We wouldn't be able to have health or life or air to breathe. He has given us everything. And worshiping him and growing closer to him in what we do, it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all the wisdom and psalms and hymns and songs from your spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a time when you didn't feel like worshiping? Where you're maybe you're sick and you're just having an off day or you're tired. Or maybe you're having struggles at work or stresses with the kids or problem with friends or maybe you fought with your spouse on the way to church. I remember quite a while ago when Chris and I were dating that we were having supper before the Wednesday night church, and as we were having supper, all of a sudden we got in a heated discussion about something. And the discussion went on and on and on, and I'm watching the clock, realizing that I got to get to church, and it's still going on, and I got to go. And so I leave, and we're still pretty upset with each other. And so on my way to church, my mind is playing all the things, and I'm strategizing all the things I'm going to say to her when I'm done church. And so I'm going to church, and on the way to church, I'm frustrated because I don't feel like worshiping. But yet I'm going to church, but the problem is exasperated and gets worse because I'm supposed to lead worship that night. And so I'm there, and I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do, and I'm getting my guitar, and I'm just not feeling it. And I say to Jesus, I say, Jesus, you know something? I don't feel like worshiping tonight. In fact, if I had a choice, I wouldn't be worshiping tonight. So I'm going to need all the help I can get from you. Because I can't do this on my own. And so literally when I started to worship, it was a sheer act of my will to do it. There was absolutely no feelings involved in it. I was doing this because this is what I was supposed to be doing. Not that I was supposed to be leading worship, But I was supposed to be worshiping. So even though I didn't feel like it, I was worshiping even though I didn't feel like it. And then it happened. The spirit and the emotions kicked in. And then I started to feel the release that came from that. The freedom, the healing that came from that. And I was able to worship at that moment in time. And believe me, the discussion after church was a whole lot better than it would have been if I didn't worship during church. Because God had done something special in me. If we only worship when we felt like it, there'd be a lot of times when we wouldn't worship. That's not why God planned it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Though Jesus, therefore, it says, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. Sometimes starting out in worship is a sacrifice. We're giving of ourselves, and we maybe can't think of reasons or why that we should worship, and we don't feel like worshiping, but we do, and we will experience the joy, the healing, and the happiness that comes when we worship Jesus. In Psalms 149, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song in his praise, in his assembly of his faithful people. A new song to the Lord. You'll find that from time to time we'll be introducing new songs. We do that because we want to find that new expression and that new feeling. Sometimes we get something we know really well. We go over it and over it. We're not really thinking about what we're singing. And if you reach a new song and it shows up on the screen, you don't know it, maybe take the first little while just to read the words and let them settle into your heart. What is this song saying? How is it expressing the songwriter's heart, but my heart to God? And then begin to sing it from your heart. David, so he has got Jerusalem back. He's got the ark back. He brings it back to Jerusalem. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12, now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went to bring up the ark of God to the house of Obed-Edom, to the city of David, with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of God had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. He and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and with sounds of trumpets. David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now, I don't know what you visualize when you see that. I don't know. Do you think it'd be like that? Maybe like this? Do you think it'd be like that? No, I don't think of it like that. Maybe more like, woo! Woo! I'm going to lose my glasses. David didn't wear glasses. Okay. That's why I don't dance like that. No. No, just, I'll be honest with you. This white man can't dance. Okay, so there you go. Okay. But when he did it, though, he expressed himself before the Lord. Interesting. He was wearing a linen ephod. He was the king. He had royal robes. Kings were dignified. When he was in the presence of God, he took off his kingly robes. He wore ordinary clothes. Because it was all about God, not about him. When we come to church, when we come to worship, it's all about God, not about us. It's not about how we look, it's about how he looks. It's about him. It's for him. It's because of him. So as David is expressing himself in worship, there's so many expressions of worship. I'm just going to read you a few scriptures. In Psalms 66, verse 1, shout to joy to God. in Psalms 47. Clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. And in Psalms 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Psalms 95, come let us bow in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalms 46, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalms 150. Praise him with the sounds of trumpets. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. When the worship team is up here and they're playing, they are worshiping with their instruments. That's how they're expressing themselves in worship to God. I want us to stand together. Everybody stand. Let's stand. Everybody take your right hand. Hold it out. Take your right hand. Now, we'll hold it out in front of you. Hold it out in front of you. Just like this. Take your left hand. Now bring them together. Okay, let's try that. Clapping before the Lord, right? He is good. He is good. How about take your right hand, put it in the air. Take your left hand. Stretch as far as you can stretch. Raising our hands before the Lord. How about shouting? How about, yeah. Let's shout the name of Jesus. Jesus! 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 Okay, I want every one of us, you ready? Take two steps to the right. Okay, two steps to the left. Okay, two steps to the right. Two steps to the left. Okay, faster. Two steps to the right. Two steps to the left. Stop, 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 stop. Oh, that was close. You were almost dancing. How far are we willing to go with our worship of Jesus? Are we willing to clap our hands? Are we willing to shout before the Lord or bow before him or dance before him? A break from your norms of worship and their comfort zones and all the things you're used to and all the things you like to do and worship the Lord and enter into his presence. It says in Psalms 86, I will praise you, O God. I will, with my heart, I will glorify your name. Let's worship.